Right, y'all. I just want to take a quick second to talk about our sponsor, Sunbasket. I don't know if you know this about me, but I am not a big fan of grocery shopping or meal planning or anything that goes along with any of that. But I do very much care about eating healthy. But when you don't like to grocery shop or plan meals, it is really hard to cook healthy dinners for your family. And that's where Sunbasket comes in. They're a team of dietitians and chefs that design wholesome, nutritious, and delicious meal kits delivered to your door. Each week, you can choose from a brand new selection of quick and easy meal kit recipes with a wide variety of dietary options, plus dozens of snacks, salads, breakfast items, and more. And you can pick and choose from recipe options like vegetarian, Mediterranean, carb conscious, the list goes on. We just had orzo bowls with broccoli, sun-dried tomatoes, and pea stew, and it was delicious. My kids even liked them. I can't speak to Sunbasket more. I love them. Thanks to Sunbasket's commitments to clean ingredients and organic fresh produce, there's no easier way to eat your very, very best. You just have to go to sunbasket.com/queerfam today to save $120 across your first four deliveries. That's sunbasket.com/queerfam to save $120, y'all, across your first four deliveries, plus free shipping on your first order. Go do that. Get some healthy food. There you go. This episode is sponsored by Feather Snack. Okay, hold on, y'all. I have to tell you about something that my wife got us into and that my whole family is loving now. Brace yourselves. It's the Feather Snap Scout Smart Bird Feeder. Yes, I said bird feeder. This thing is so cool, and it offers a brand new way to connect with nature and learn about the birds right in your own backyard. Or, if you're like us, living in New York City, it's in your friend's backyard in the country, and you get to use the app connected to it to learn all the stuff. It's got this high-resolution camera that connects to an app, so you can check out a live stream from your feeder. You can take photos and videos of the birds that visit. You can ID the species using expert-trained AI, and you can earn badges along the way. You can even, y'all, learn fun facts about hundreds of species. For example, did you know that American crows can recognize and remember people's faces? And they can even teach their young who's a friend and who's a foe? I know that now. Did you? Seriously, the Feather Snap Feeder is entertaining, it's educational, and it's just a whole bunch of fun for the whole family. Check them out today at feathersnapcam.com. That's feathersnapcam.com. This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp, Modern Fertility, and California Cryobank. We're very excited to have them on board, making our show a possibility. We really are. 100%. Big time.
Welcome to If These Ovaries Could Talk. I'm Jamie.
I'm Robin.
And we're your hosts.
Make sure.
Love is love if you don't have to make a family, but taking the traditional route. If these ovaries could talk, you would say.
How do I get the sperm through customs?
I am a lesbian.
So gay.
We need to tell our story.
It's not your nuclear family anymore. It's not just your mom and dad thing.
We're not ruining these little humans.
Not for the gay reason. Just because we stay.
Oh, Jamie.
Hi, guys.
Jamie, this is our last episode of season 7.
OMG. How did that happen?
I don't... 7 seasons, I Jamie. Know. Like, we're in our 4th year or something absurd like that. But listen, like, can we talk about season 7? Like, we've had 7 seasons. Like, we've had some really amazing things. It just feels like such a nice moment to be like, we interviewed Judy Gold and Griffin Matthews and Rosie and Seth Rudetsky and Sarah-Kate Ellis from GLAAD, Jamie.
So many.
We had a book come out this year.
Was that this year?
Well, last year. I guess it was last year.
The truth be told, y'all, we are tired.
We are tired. We're a little bit ready for a break, but not from you guys, ourselves.
We love you all. We have just been burning the candle at both ends lately, I think. Mm. It's been a whirlwind, and we really have accomplished a lot. We've really interviewed so many wonderful people.
I'm super proud of all that we've done, but I'm also just like, I'm so like joyful at, you know, we've interviewed like 140 different families. And that is so wonderful.
Considering we thought this was going to be one season.
With our friends.
That's it. We were like, we have enough friends to fill out one whole season. And that's where we thought this was going.
And now we've been in Good Morning America. I mean, it's like, this is crazy. It's crazy.
I
don't even, Wait until someone figures out that we're idiots, Jamie, and they're like, get off. Yeah, what are you doing?
No, we're always idiots. Posting. But, you know, it just goes to show that these stories needed to be told. And they and, did. They and did. You keep coming back and telling us you want to share your stories. And so we are happy to be the venue to help you all share your stories and to help you all feel less alone with the stories you hear. So, you know.
And we've also gotten such amazing support on Patreon.
OMG.
People telling us that we need to make this content and they know that we're paying for it. And so it's just been so wonderful. We just have, we have a new Patreon member this week, Jane Matheson.
Thank you, Jane Matheson.
And she wrote such a nice email. And I was just like about her journey. And it was just like, even people who are supporting us are writing these amazing emails. I don't know. I'm getting all like, I'm waxing poetic, Jamie. I'm getting all nostalgic.
I mean, it's just amazing. People are reaching out. They're saying things. We need to start sharing some of these things people say on our social so you can hear it, because some of it is so heartwarming.
It really is. We share it right here in this podcast.
Well, we need to, we're going to share some quotes. We're going to quote these people.
We're going to do that. And we do want to tell you, if you want to help us make content for LGBTQ families, we'd be wildly appreciative. But you can join our Patreon community and you're going to do a good thing. Plus, you're going to get bonus content. And at the gestational carrier level, you're going to get videos of most episodes, of most interviews, and they are dropped a day early. Mm-hmm. The full video. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. You just got to go to patreon.com/ovaries talk and you can join us.
You can join
us. Do good things.
Yeah. So let's get into this episode, our season finale episode. Bria.
Oh,
this is a good one.
This is another listener who reached out to us, which was awesome. She's been together with her wife since high school.
High school.
I mean, she has overcome some stuff, Jamie.
She really has. She's had to overcome her religious family that hasn't supported her gayness. It's gotten a little bit better, but you'll hear that. And her struggles to have a baby. She's still in the process, and it's been a tough one. She also discusses in this episode the microaggressions she faces in the medical system as a Black woman. And they're real, and things need to change. Yeah. But you'll hear all about that in this episode.
I mean, as soon as we tell Helen to play it, Helen?
This episode is a roller coaster. Get ready.
Helen, would you mind?
We're getting into it.
Would you mind turning off the TV and hitting play? I'm trying.
You're being so kind.
It's as nice as I can ask you, Helen.
Helen's not real, guys. I repeat, Helen is a made-up character.
Stop it. Stop telling people she's fake. Stop it. All right, roll it, Helen, for God's sakes.
Hi,
Bria.
Hi.
Welcome.
I'm so excited to finally get to talk to you guys. I swear I've been anticipating this for like weeks.
It took us a minute to schedule, Bria. We got it together.
We did. We did it.
And we've just been telling Bria how beautiful she looks and how not beautiful we look this whole time.
All right, Bria, are you ready to do your 30-second elevator pitch? Now, like, what you can't see unless you're a Patreon member is that I put a timer right up on the thing,
gosh.
And it stresses everybody out. But don't be stressed out.
Don't be stressed.
And we never stop
anybody.
We
don't stop you.
Okay.
On your mark, get set, go.
Hi, everyone. My name is Bria. I'm 28 years old. I actually just turned 28 a month ago now. I've been married to my wife for 5 years in September. We've been trying to conceive for 4 out of those 5 years. And we've known each other for 11 years now. I met her when I was a teenager. So I've basically been, it feels like I've been married since I was 15. So I currently work in a lash studio in Florida. I'm a Tennessee native. And that is all I have.
Well done.
That was
37
beautiful.
Seconds. I love it.
Getting it close.
Well done.
Packed a lot in there.
I think you got it all in. We got a lot to unpack.
So you have been together with your wife since being a teenager?
Yeah. I mean, you know how you go through. Yeah, lesbians are. We go through these stages where we're like, are we actually together? Or are we just like friends who are like secretly in love but don't want to tell each other that? It's like, I don't want to date you, but you can't date anyone else. Right. So it was, and that was all her. Okay. I just want to be clear that my wife was very much like, not interested, but interested, and just didn't want to admit that she was interested.
It was like that push-pull.
Yeah. So it was funny because I told her we had all of our classes together because I did that. I was stalking her. and I remember telling her one time, I was like, you know what? I'm going to marry you one day. Not knowing what that meant at all. I was not even out of the closet. I had never said out loud, I think I'm gay. Like, I just told her that I was going to marry her, and now we're married.
And now you're married.
Oh, that's wow. So sweet.
So, wow. Yeah. So this was high school.
Mm-hmm.
High school. Yeah. Wow.
So you.
So how did this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You didn't know you were gay. How did it all go down? And yet you just wanted to marry her.
Yeah. So funny story. We had driver's ed together.
Oh my god, driver's ed.
We were the oldest people in driver's ed because both of us had failed a class, and we just had to have an elective, and that was like the only thing left. So everyone had already sat down, and I was walking in like a smidge late because I was a cheerleader. Mm-hmm. Leave it there. And I was going to go sit down, and I see this girl with like this like pink headband on, hers in a ponytail. She has on like a pink shirt. I remember what she was wearing. I will never forget that. Cause I remember the first time I saw her, I was like, who is this? And how can I keep her forever? Like,
but you didn't know you were gay yet.
No,
you just wanted to hang out with her a lot.
I was like, hi. I'm once again cheerleader. So I made everyone talk to me. I could talk to a wall. So I walk up to her. She's literally in mid conversation with this guy. And I'm like, excuse me, can I sit here? And she's like, yeah. And just like turns around and I'm like, okay.
I was looking for more.
I sat down and I'm like, she's not talking to me. So I like tap her on the shoulder and I'm like, hi, I know we're supposed to have driving partners. So do you want to be my partner? I know I like don't know you, but she was like, I mean, I guess. She was so not feeling it at all.
She
like
wasn't.
It just was making it very clear that she did not want to be bothered. But I was like, you're gonna like me. Just wait. So long story short, we talked the rest of that class. Of course, after class was like done and everything, we exchanged numbers. We ended up like eating lunch together. She started picking me up for school in the morning. I just met this girl. And after a week, we are just like inseparable. And I would like to point out that I did not even know she was gay.
Oh, so she was gay.
Yes. She had a girlfriend at the time.
Oh.
By the way, I bet that girlfriend was not pleased about Bria coming on the scene.
I didn't even know. So I'm just like I said, I had no idea what that was. So I was just like, can we be friends? And then it turned into we are talking all night long. We're texting in the morning before she comes to pick me up for school. To drive me to school, then she was taking me home. I was staying for her softball practices. She thought that I was so stupid because I was like, I've never seen you before. Have you been here like all year? And she's like, yeah. She's like, aren't you a cheerleader? And I'm like, yeah. I'm thinking, how do you know that? I've never seen you. And I was like, oh, what do you do? And she's like, I play softball. And I was like, what's that? And she's like,
I just cheer what? For you on the side. That's all.
Right. And then I was like, we have a softball team. So I started going to her games and I was just like, oh my God, I think I'm in love with her. But like, what does that mean? You know? So
what was it like when she told you she was gay? Like,
she had a lot of pictures of this one particular girl on her phone. There was a lot of them together. Nothing like that would to me. I didn't know that they were like a couple. So I'm like, oh my God, is that like your best friend? And she just kind of laughed and she was like, I mean, I guess you could say that. And I'm like, okay, I didn't get it because, you know, straight Bria over here.
It's almost like you were like 1950s Bria and you were just like, that's so cute.
I was like, oh, that's so cute. And she's like, yeah, we're kind of closer than that. And I'm like, what do you mean? Like, I'm still not putting two and two together. She's like, well, that's my girlfriend. And I'm like you like girls, like you're dating her. And she was like, yeah. And I was like, wow, I've never met a lesbian before. And so she's just like, yeah, that's me. And so then I all of a sudden had all these questions.
Yeah.
Because I
bet you did.
I was going through these things in my brain, but I hadn't said it out loud to anybody else. And now that I met someone that was out, I was like, huh, so this is a real thing. So girls do date girls. Like, it's not a weird thing because I was raised in a very religious household. Of course, it was the whole like, we don't do that, you're gonna go to hell, you know, the whole nine yards. So after getting to know her, I realized I was in love with her and I started having dreams about us being a couple.
Of course.
And I came to school and I was like, we can't be friends anymore. Like, I can't like you. She's like, oh, don't worry. Like, if you have a crush on me, it'll go away. We see where I am now. Yeah. Very much married.
Yeah. So it did not go away.
It did not go away.
And this is, what grade are you in? What grade are you in here?
Oh my God. I think I had to be a senior at this point.
Okay.
The only thing that ever happened between the two of us is she kissed me once. One time.
Okay.
And that was it. And I was just like, so that's what it's supposed to feel like when you kiss someone. Because I'd always been with guys. And so I was like, okay, maybe I'm bisexual. And so, you know, for a long time, that's what I said, that I was bi. And I ended up with Melissa, and we have literally been together every single day since. I jumped into our relationship head first. And I said, if I'm going to do this, I refuse to be in the closet. I don't want to, you know, hide that I'm with you. Whatever is going to happen is going to happen. And so she took me to the fair a few weeks later, and we posted a photo together at the fair. And it wasn't even like that we were kissing. She had kissed me on the forehead. And I was like, I think the caption said something like, finally. And so many people in the comments were like, we knew it. I've known it since high school. You guys were together. Oh my God, I'm so happy for you guys. But in the same context, my family reacted the exact opposite way of what I thought they would. And it was awful.
Like, what happened?
Oh my gosh. My dad, I'm a big daddy's girl. When I met Melissa, backtracking a little, I told him, hey, I met this girl and I think I have a crush on her. And his reaction was a religious response. And he also said, you know, that's going to be a hard life to live because not everybody's okay with that. He could not wrap his mind around it. My mom didn't really say much, but she didn't prevent any of the things he said to me. So for about the last 8 years, it had been on and off of my dad liked me and then he hated me and then he liked me and then he hated me. And finally last year we had a moment where he said something I didn't like. And I was like, I don't want conditional love. If you can't love me unconditionally and it's going to be under terms and I can't fit into your box, then I can't do this anymore. If this is the only love you can give me is with conditions, I don't want it. And we did not speak until October of last year.
Wow. All right, folks, if you haven't used BetterHelp yet, it is time to start.
Oh my God, so true. BetterHelp, I love it. It's online therapy that's done securely online. And what's great about it is you just go to their website, you sign up, and you can start communicating with a licensed professional therapist in under 48 hours.
It's the best. It is not a crisis line. It is not self-help. It is professional counseling, which we all could use. There is a broad range of expertise available, which might not be available locally in your area. So you can possibly find someone who's more qualified to deal with whatever it is you need to talk about than you might have found in your own town.
I know, it's amazing. It's super accessible. Like, you can log into your account anytime and send a message to your counselor, and you're going to get a timely and thoughtful response. And that I love. And it's more affordable than traditional offline counseling. And also, in addition to that, Jamie, financial aid is available.
I love that. BetterHelp is also, Robin, committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches. So they make it free and easy to change counselors if you need to.
That's huge, because it's daunting to find a new person if you don't gel.
Yeah.
BetterHelp wants you to start living a happier life today. That's just their overall mission.
Yes. So visit betterhelp.com/OCT. That's better, H-E-L-P. And join the over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional.
I mean, so many people have been using BetterHelp that they are recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states.
Bam. So true. So, guys, this podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. And if these ovaries could talk, listeners get 10% off their first month at BetterHelp.com/OCT. Do that, BetterHelp.
Whoop.
None of my family came to my wedding. I had one cousin that showed up. And
that's heartbreaking.
I just told my mom, you know, this is who I am. This is who I'm going to be. And we're trying to have a child. And if you can't accept us, I can't trust that you're going to be accepting of our children or accepting of the fact that Melissa is their mother. Yeah. Even if they did not come physically from her body, that's their mother. And if you can't respect her, you don't respect me and you can't respect my kids. So, you know, and I wasn't even pregnant at the time. I was just like, look, I can't. Yeah. I don't want to raise my kids in toxicity. You know, it's hard enough that we get a lot on her side as well. So it was coming from both sides for a long time.
You know, what's so hard about that is like your dad saying, you know, I don't want this life for you. This is going to be a hard life for you. But the only people making it hard for you are those people, is your dad and your family and her family. You know, it's like, I mean, I don't want to make assumptions about the fact that you maybe you're out in the world and you have had other bad experiences. But I mean, the people closest to you are the ones that are actually like doing it. That's horrible.
Yeah. And you know, I blame the fact that I'm from a very small town. It's still kind of weird. Not weird, but people still have their opinions about interracial relationships. Yeah. We're also interracial. So it can be a lot.
So you have double.
Yeah. So like they have only known that town and those small town mindsets, and they've never really stepped outside the box and got to know someone different or looked from someone else's perspective. And I didn't want to force it on them, but I also couldn't wait for them to be kind. So that's why I was like, if this is how you're going to be, then just go. Just leave me alone. It's crazy because now my dad has done like a complete, I don't know what you call that.
360. 360. I was going to say 180 too, though, Bria.
And it was all because back in October, he showed up to my mom's house. I was in town passing through, and I told her not to tell him I was there, and she told him. And so he showed up, and I hadn't seen him, and I couldn't even tell you how long, maybe a year, maybe since before January. He was like, do you feel like talking to me? And I said, if we're going to talk, we're going to talk. It's not going to be any more of those surface conversations. We pretend like, you know, something's not happening. But we talked for probably 2 hours. We were standing outside of our house. And I learned then that he really just never understood from my perspective. So I told him, this is the one thing that stuck out to him the most. I said, just because your love language is being a provider and taking care of us, you know, he's a military man, he's a Marine. Just because that's your love language and that's how you show love doesn't mean that's how I receive it. So if I'm not receiving it, how do I know that you love me? After, I don't know, 2 or 3 hours, and we both shed a lot of tears, things have drastically changed. I mean, my dad has been like my rock these last 3 months of fertility treatments. He's the one who's like talking me off ledge. Like, he's always like, I didn't raise no quitter.
Aww.
You know, you can take a break, but you're not going to stop. I know how bad you want to be a mom. He's like, you're going to be a mom.
Aww, and that's so sweet.
It is. And, you know, 3 losses later, I'm trying so hard not to cry. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
It's hard. You know, I'm losing children back to back. And at the same time, I can't get my family to just be there. And, you know, seeing my dad cry is also like the most heartbreaking thing ever. A part of me felt bad because I was like, he's also hurting because of me. Because he said, I could not believe that you said, well, if that's how you're going to love me, I don't want it. You just told me you don't want me to love you. And I said, yeah, because you love me as long as I could check the boxes of, I could be straight, I could be with a man. You know, everything else about me is great, but you don't want to hear anything about Melissa. You don't want to hear anything about us or the things that we're doing or things that are changing for us in our lives together.
What you've gone through has been really, really tough. And we haven't even gotten into the family building story.
Yeah.
But, you know, you're doing a great job.
Yes.
I'm going to
agree. Yes, you are. You're doing a great job.
What really matters is the community and the love you're going to build around these children. Right. And that's what we do time and time again with these families. We create what we were missing, right? You can create whatever you want.
For so long, I've been censoring an entire part of my life that is actually my life. Like, I've been playing a role, but I'm not doing it anymore. So, because I'm not going to bring my kids over here and be like, okay, now that we're in front of, you know, your grandparents, don't talk about mommy.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do that.
Mm-mm. You can't.
So
absolutely
not. I'm just like, no. And I told all of them, if you can't respect one of us, you can't respect both of us, and we don't need you.
I just want you to know you're being so thoughtful and you're having these conversations that need to happen. And they are so hard to have. They so are. Kudos very, to you.
Thank you, you know? So much.
And you're, being you're willing doing, to lose people great. Is very, very difficult. It just, you are.
It is. And my dad, at the end of the day, is my person. I mean, when I got my period, I literally said, someone call my father. Aww. Not my mom. Aww. Call my daddy. Even now to this day, my poor thing, he has no idea about fallopian tubes. And ovaries and pregnancy tests. And yet he's like, okay, so when you do this, this is what this means. And I'm like, yes. And he's like, okay, this medicine is for ovulation. And ovulation is when you're like fertile, right? And I'm like, aww. Yeah. You know, he's trying to learn.
He's trying so hard.
He is. And I told him, I said, Daddy, you got to do better for them because I'm the oldest.
God damn it.
And I'm like, you know, if God forbid my sisters ever end up in a situation where they're struggling with infertility, somebody needs to guide them because I had no guidance. This was all me learning everything the hard way, everything, you know, even with my first miscarriage, I didn't know what to expect. I didn't know what my body was going to look like and what that was going to do to me for the rest of my life. Like, I had no idea. And so because of that conversation, my dad actually made an appointment for my middle sister because I told him, you know, because I'm a carrier for PCOS, she needs to be checked because she's showing signs.
So let's dive into this because this is
4 years. Obviously, we're already hearing PCOS and miscarriages. So tell us about that.
Let's dive in. It's not always easy. It is not always easy.
No. And that is one thing I hate about sexual education in school. You are literally taught if you have sex, you're going to get pregnant. If sperm goes anywhere near your body, you're going to have a baby. And it's like
even a day later.
So I'm thinking, we got this. First of all, I don't have to worry about like the whole using protection because I'm with a woman. But when I finally do, you know, did decide, okay, I want to be a mom. Are we going to do this? It was basically right after we got married. And I had been following a couple on YouTube for a long time who had been doing home inseminations. Mm-hmm. And I was like, we could do that. Mm-hmm. But I like don't know what that is really. I'm Googling things. I'm literally taking notes from their YouTube. And I'm just like, okay, I need to do this. So I had never tracked my cycle. Mm-hmm. I was just like, yeah, she comes when she wants to. Didn't realize all these things are big red flags, but I didn't know. So we had a family friend who was gracious enough to gift us a child, essentially. And I didn't think that it was going to work at all. So I was one of the ones that's like, I didn't know I was pregnant because I'm not holding my breath. I'm like, this isn't going to work. Like, whatever.
So this is like a friend of the family gave you sperm and you did an at-home insemination.
Yes.
The first time.
And
yes.
And you got pregnant.
And it worked. Wow. So, and when I tell y'all I was winging it, That's why I was like, I don't know. So Melissa was fixing tomato soup. And at the time, tomato soup was the most repulsive thing on the planet to me. And we're standing in the kitchen and I'm like, oh my God, what is that smell? It smelled so heavenly. She's like, it's tomato soup, babe. And I'm like, can I have a bite? So I take one bite, and I don't know if you guys have ever seen, I can't think of that movie with J-Lo, where like she's taking bread and like dipping it in chili because she's pregnant, but she doesn't know. That was literally me. At this point, it's not even in a bowl, it's in a pot. And I'm just like swirling it around. I end up eating the entire pot and I'm like, can you make more? And she's like, you're pregnant. And I was like, no, I'm not. And she's like, yes, you are. You don't eat tomato soup. So at this point, I was 9 weeks.
Oh,
had no idea because my periods are not regular. I don't know when I'm getting my period. I'm just like, let's just wing it and see what happens. And
oh my God.
It seemed like the minute I found out that I'm like, oh my God, everything's making sense. I'm thinking that I'm just really bloated, you know, but I'm like, I had a little belly. When I realized like, oh my gosh, I'm going to be a mom. You know, I was so excited. I was working at MAC Cosmetics at the time. I was a makeup artist, always wearing like really like bodycon tight fitted dresses. And I remember one of my appointments, I had a client that was like, "Sweetie, I don't mean to be rude, but are you pregnant?" And I was like, "Yes, ma'am." She was like, "Oh my gosh." She said, "Is it your first?" And I was like, "Yes, I haven't really been telling people." I was like, "I don't know what to say." And she was like, "Oh, what does your husband think?" Well, my wife is very excited. She's very excited. It's so awkward every time. And it's just like,
so awkward.
Do we have to just throw out husband? Does everyone have to have a man?
Can we just not assume?
And also, like, why do you want, that's such a dumb question anyway. Like, is your husband excited? Your like, husband gives feel? A crap. Ask me about my feelings.
Yeah. And of course, you know, when you're like, "Oh, my wife," and they're like, "Oh.
Well, that's great too.
Yes. I have my sister's cousin's niece is gay.
And they're going to have a baby. Well, that's so interesting.
It, you guys are so cool. Just say congrats. Congratulations."
Yeah.
So, but I was just like, what? I was used to it. So I was just like, whatever. So she's like, you know, asking me all the questions. And at this point, I'm like, okay, I'm actually talking to people about it. So I start getting excited. I start finding myself putting my hand on my belly and trying to figure out when am I going to feel the flutters or, you know, can I hear a heartbeat? My OB at the time did not want to see me until 11 weeks. And I thought that was such a long time. And I was like,
it is a long time.
I know, like, usually it's like eight or 9 weeks, I thought.
Right. That's what I thought. So, but she said 11. So around week 10, 10 and a half-ish, I started getting this really intense burning sensation right in my, like, under my belly, like right at the top of my uterus, I guess. And it felt like I did a lot of sit-ups. And I was just like, I don't know that this is normal.
Right.
And so I remember calling Melissa and I was like, "Babe, I feel like something's wrong." She's like, "Honey, don't say that. You're probably just anxious." And I'm like, "Okay, maybe we should just try to find the heartbeat on our own because this is a long time." And I'm like, "If I'm 9 weeks, then that I should be able to hear something." So I downloaded, I think it was the Bella Beat app. And it was a little Doppler, like phone Doppler. And I remember recording something and I thought it was a heartbeat. And I sent it to my mom. And she was like, "I don't know, sweetie, that sounds kind of slow. It should sound like a washing machine." And I'm like, okay. So I'm moving it around and I'm trying to find it. At this point, I'm getting nervous. And I'm like, okay, let me just stop because I'm starting to obsess over it. My aunt, my mom's sister, had a friend who did ultrasounds. And she's like, "You know, I'm not seeing anything." I would also like to point out that she was very microaggressive with me and I didn't like it. She just kept saying, "I'm just really confused as to how you're pregnant."
That's some bullshit.
And I'm like, of course, Melissa's like, "Well, it's none of your fucking business."
Yeah.
Excuse me. Sorry. I don't know if I want to say that.
You fucking swear.
Oh, and you were both there. Yes. And she was saying, "I don't know.
How do you think, bitch?" That's how. I'm so pissed.
She's just
right
like,
now.
I mean, I don't, you're going to have to call your dog. I mean, with just no empathy, nothing. And she's like, "I'm not saying anything." And I'm like, okay. So we get in the car and Melissa goes to put her hand on my belly and I just moved it and just bawled. Like I sobbed because I knew. And the worst part was I had just told my parents. I had been fighting with telling my family for a hot minute. And I was just like, "I don't want to say anything. I don't know how my dad's going to react." Keep in mind, they are still not, they didn't come to my wedding. I just got married like a few months ago. And now I'm also telling them, by the way, I'm having a baby with this woman. So I was freaking out. And I honestly, I feel, trigger warning, I feel like the anxiety and the stress of how am I supposed to raise our kid here around all of these people could have possibly contributed to me miscarrying because I was so stressed out about having to tell my parents. I mean, I was terrified. And then literally a few days later, I had to call them and tell them that there's no baby. And oh my gosh, I was devastated. And so after that, I was, of course, like, I couldn't even go over there. And I didn't know that my body was going to look pregnant for a little while. And I still had this belly and people are still asking me, oh, how's the baby doing? And it was awful. I mean, every single day at work, I'm having to tell someone, I'm not pregnant anymore. Please don't, just, I don't want to talk about it. So instead of grieving, I decided I'm going to push it down and we're going to keep trying. And that is when I dove headfirst into fertility treatments. Oof. When we found out we were pregnant, we decided to move to Florida because I was like, I can't raise my baby here. I made my first appointment with my doctor. I am not going to disclose his name because I have nothing nice to say about him. We had our first appointment with him. I didn't know anything about treatment, nothing. Mm-hmm. No one I knew had done it before. I had an aunt that had been through it, but she didn't talk about it. So I wasn't going to ask her.
Mm-hmm. Do you mean you were going to go forward with IVF?
No. So at this point, we're doing IUIs.
Like medicated IUIs. Okay.
Medicated cycles. And he was very, he was selling himself, you know. Mm-hmm. He was like, I'm very LGBT friendly. Tell all your friends.
Yeah.
I didn't really like that he said that. Yeah, that's weird. Just like, he was like, you'll never have to worry about feeling uncomfortable here. You know, we see all types of couples and things like that.
You're like, I already feel uncomfortable. Yeah. You just made me uncomfortable.
Right. Okay. So I'm 23 at this point, 24 probably by then. And he's like, you know, how aggressive do you want to be? And I'm like, well, I want a baby now. So put me on everything. I didn't know what else to say. I don't know anything, you know? So I'm just like, right. I want to take everything.
But also, what kind of a question is that? Check my body and you tell me what kind of approach we should take here.
Right.
And also, I just want to state, like, what he said to you about you never have to feel uncomfortable here. What is uncomfortable about that, that whole statement, is that he's othering you right there. Mm-hmm. He is othering you.
Yeah.
And that's where this whole, like, the clinics and everything needs to learn how to be more inclusive, and that's not how you do it. Because you're that's being othered. Yeah. And I just want to throw that out there, just like to clarify.
No, I agree 100%. And it felt like we were like a demographic number, you know, like they're meeting a quota. And I would just like to say, I don't know why the only thing we can have is rainbow when you're selling gay merch. Why is it just rainbow? Why can't we have something really cute in like rose gold or I don't know, black? I like black. I love black's my favorite color. So I'm confused as to if I want to wear something that says I am a La Dollar Bean, why does it have to be in rainbow font? Why is that our only option? I love the rainbow. Don't get me wrong.
Everybody loves a rainbow.
But can't we have options?
No.
It's our apparently only option.
No, we cannot.
It's
no.
Like
we made our option when we decided to be same sex. That's it. That's all it. You get. That's your option.
That's
right
all
there.
We get.
You know, Jamie, I think that there is so much about fertility that's a complete mystery. And what's amazing is that's where modern fertility hormone tests come in. Think of your fertility hormones as tiny detectives, and they can bring you tons of insight into your egg count, reproductive timeline, and even possible outcomes of egg freezing and IVF. Basically everything you need to know to get proactive about your family, Jamie.
Okay, little detectives. Okay. All yeah, right.
Come on.
That was good. But you guys, truthfully, modern fertility is great for the LGBTQ community. Mm-hmm. We spend so much money creating our families. It's important to find those money saver options along the way, right? So traditional testing with your doctor can cost over $1,000, but modern fertility only costs $159 to get the same exact information. Money saver right there. Boom.
Mm-hmm. Also, Jamie, if you have an HSA or an FSA, you can use those dollars on modern fertility. And that's more money saving.
More. Also, here's what you're going to get. You're going to get insight into how many eggs you have, your hormone levels, and other important fertility factors.
Yes. And those results, they go deep into what every hormone means. You could also talk one-on-one with a fertility nurse, and they're going to review your results and options for next steps.
It's true. It's really great. So if you're ready to start this baby-making journey, this might be the right place to start for you.
Mm-hmm. Right now, Modern Fertility is offering our listeners $20 off the test when you go to modernfertility.com/OCT.
That means, guys, your test is going to cost $139 instead of the hundreds or thousands it could cost at a doctor's office.
$20 off your fertility test, Jamie, when you go to modernfertility.com/OCT.
That's modernfertility.com/OCT.
All right. So you're like, I want to be aggressive because you want this baby because you're having a loss that you haven't processed.
Yes.
And he said, that sounds like a great idea.
He's like, cool, let's do it.
He's not even asking any history about your miscarriage.
Mm-mm.
Okay.
No.
Red flag.
So we start doing testing and I realize quickly insurance does not cover any of this stuff. Keep in mind, we just moved states. I'm also in school full time. We're on like one income. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, I don't care. We're doing this. I don't know how we did it, but we did it. But he does all these tests, you know, of course, and tells me everything is fine. I'm fine. Mm-hmm. He sees no problems. I still have my paperwork from then that says no signs of PCOS. So I'm like, okay, I'm good. They put me on Clomid. We did the whole Avadryl injection. Mm-hmm. And they wanted to wait 2 days after my trigger to do the insemination. And I thought that was so long. And I'm like,
so it's usually 24 hours, I believe, right?
Yeah. I'm looking up stuff on the internet. I'm just like, well, that's not what this place says. Mm-hmm. And I also thought it was strange that he didn't ask me if I wanted to do more than one insemination.
Uh-huh.
It was one. I didn't even get the option. Then I'm finding out other clinics, you can ask, well, I would like to do two, or their standard is two.
Right. Yeah. My first clinic I went to, the standard was two.
Yeah. See, mine that's too. What I'm mine hearing, too. Like, but then I've heard others that it's one. So,
The second clinic I went to, it was one, but I never asked if I could do two. I don't know if that was an option or not.
Right.
But I had already tried the two way too many times. And I was like, let's try one. I'm done with this.
Yes. So we go in for some insemination. I'm super excited. You know, I'm like, I can't wait. Melissa's with me. And all of a sudden, you know, I got my legs up, ready to go. Mm-hmm. And this woman walks in and I'm like, who are you? She's like, oh, sweetie, he doesn't do the insemination. And I'm like,
what?
No one couldn't have told me that before I got here. I've been coming here for weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And no one said a word that some random nurse practitioner was going to do my insemination that I had never met. I have built a relationship with this doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And no matter how little he told me or little information he gave me, I was counting on him to get me pregnant. Now I have to talk to you. I don't even know you. And now you're going to do my insemination. I'm completely uncomfortable at this point. I look at Melissa and she's just like, what do you want to do? And I'm like, I don't have a choice. I've already triggered.
Yeah.
It's not like I can wait.
Right.
So, you know, we do the insemination. It takes 2 seconds. And I'm like, okay, so that's it. And she's like, yeah. And I'm like, okay. She's like, well, you can stay in here with your legs up for a few minutes and then get dressed and you'll be good to go. And I'm like, okay. So we leave, we go check out. And she's like, okay, that'll be $9.50 for today. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay.
Like, Melissa could have done that.
Yeah. Right.
Right. I'm like, okay. So, you know, we're paying, we leave. They're like, okay, good luck. And I'm like, okay, you know, but at this point I'm already not feeling confident because I did know this person. And now my whole experience has been tainted because I didn't expect for someone else to do it. And I know that sounds small, but I was like, I would have liked to know.
Well, they
that
just because, needed to tell you.
Yeah. You know? Like, I'm so attached to this doctor. I'm expecting to walk in and see him and his little corny face. And he's not there. He's not even there. I don't even see him at all in the office whatsoever.
It's seems like they didn't take you into account.
No,
at all.
It felt very impersonal. I felt like I was a transaction.
Mm-hmm.
So I got the call that I wasn't pregnant after I already knew that I wasn't. I was testing up my trigger, which I should not have done because it was a gut punch when I realized I wasn't pregnant. They called me the morning of school. I was sitting in the parking lot and I already knew. And they were like, okay, we just wanted to let you know, your pregnancy test is negative. But just let us know when you're ready to do it again. And that'll be another $9.50 and we can get it going. And I'm like, you could have just left it at, we're so sorry.
Yeah.
You didn't conceive this cycle. Give us a call when you're ready.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear about $9.50because now I feel like I just wasted $9.50. That's how it felt at the time, you know? it was like, I pay you all this money, which $950 was not even tip of the iceberg of how much money we ended up spending total. You know, I want to say it was between $6,000 and $8,000 by the time we were done. And it could have been more because everything was out of pocket. Melissa's like, you know, we just can't do it right now, honey. I don't want you to be upset, but it's just not going to be possible. So then I'm like, okay, how can I figure out how to do this
cheaper? Were you still using the friend's sperm?
No, we're in Florida now. So at this point, the clinic, we used California Cryobank at the time.
Mm-hmm. Code OCT.
I'm still never grieved my first loss, right? And I'm like, I have to get pregnant. So I'm on this mission to like, I have to do this. I had another friend at the time who I had gotten really close to, a male friend, and he was gracious enough to be my donor. And he was just so honored. They usually are. I don't know why, but I'm like, you guys get so excited. So, but thank you. I appreciate it. So he was gracious enough to be my donor. We worked with him for a couple of months and I was able to conceive with him. I miscarried that one as well.
And that one you did at home too.
Yes.
So your golden ticket is like this home insemination.
Yeah, maybe right. Less pressure. How did you figure out you had PCOS though? Is it you just kept miscarrying?
I just got diagnosed in December.
Can you tell our listeners? I don't know if everyone knows what PCOS is. So can you walk that through a little?
Yes. So PCOS is polycystic ovarian syndrome. It looks different for everybody. It's not cut and dry for one woman to another, or one person with a uterus to another. For me personally, it has caused recurrent miscarriage. I have cystic ovaries, which actually, if you Google polycystic ovaries, you can see they have what they call the strand of pearls. And it's these little, it looks like rocks. Your ovaries look like bumpy. I said they kind of look like little planets in the solar system because they're so bumpy. Mm-hmm. But for me, it has caused recurrent pregnancy loss. I don't have a good level of progesterone when I get pregnant, which is another reason why my periods have always been completely debilitating, but it can cause facial hair, weight gain. I've gained a lot of weight.
How did they find that out?
So I changed clinics after trying at home for a year and a half. We had to do a psychological evaluation, which we had never had to do before. I didn't know that was a thing.
Why? Were you going to do IVF?
Why'd you have to do a psychological evaluation?
Reciprocal or anything?
Just it to be a patient, to be accepted as a patient.
What?
It was a requirement.
Really? Yes.
Oh, just wait till I tell you how it went. So the psychological evaluation had to be completed. And then there was also like some blood work and some other things that me and Melissa had to do separately that all had to be together for them to be like, okay, now we'll do something for you.
Okay.
It was a lot. So our psychological evaluation was awful. That woman was, I know she was just doing her job, but there are ways to do your job without being a complete piece of shit.
Oh,
we had to fill out these questionnaires and I wasn't going to lie. Cause I'm like, we're talking to a psychiatrist. This woman's going to know if I'm lying through my teeth. So, you know, Melissa did hers. I did mine. There's a lot more on mine as far as traumatic experiences, sexual assault, mental health, you know, things like that, that I have been through. Mm-hmm. And I was completely attacked. She barely said two words to Melissa. She was just like, I just, you know, I'm not trying to hurt your feelings, but unfortunately, you know, with there being, you know, you've just been through so much and I'm so sorry that you've had experienced that, you know, but I can't in good faith say that it would be safe for you to be a mother.
Are you effing kidding me?
What?
Yes. So because I have bipolar disorder type 2, I'm not ashamed to say that at all. And I of course wrote it down because I'm like, yeah, that's a part of me, but it's not all of me.
Yeah.
Right.
She's like, well, you know, you could pass that to your child and we just have to think about what's best for your child's future.
So this woman gets to decide if you have a baby or not?
Apparently.
That's outrageous.
My God.
Melissa's sitting next to me and she puts her hand on my leg and she's just kind of like squeezing my leg because she knows I'm trying to be professional because I want to be a part of this clinic. but I'm not going to tolerate you telling me if I should be a mom or not, which
no,
I am a mother. My children may not be here, but I am a mom. So for you to dismiss that was, right. It was too much for me. So I was like, you know, with all due respect, I know what I've been through and it has made me the woman that I am today, which is why I'm able to sit here and verbalize what I've been through without crying or falling apart. I was like, I have taken the initiative to keep my bipolar disorder under control. I go to therapy, you know, I keep it under control and I know what to look for. So if my child did have something like that happen to them, I know how to take care of them.
I'm the best for that.
I'm their parent and I've been through it. So if they came to me and said, mommy, I'm feeling this way, I could say, it's okay. We can talk to someone, or you can tell mommy why you feel like that way. Or maybe me and you can go to someone together. And it could be because of X, Y, Z. Mm. But what you're not going to do is tell me that I can't be a good mother because I have a mental health condition, because you don't know anything about all these straight people out here that mm-mm. accidentally get pregnant. You don't ask them at their 6-week checkup what their mental no, health looks
I'm
like.
I'm still confused that you had to have this.
It was literally a request. It was, you could not do it.
Everybody who walks through
those doors.
They
said everyone who is a patient has had to do it. I don't know if I believe that 100%. I felt shamed for being honest. Mm. And I was like, I literally said, so it would have been better if I lied.
All right, everybody, get your pens out because we're about to give you something really special.
OCT, write that down. It's our code for a free sperm bank subscription. OCT for Ovaries Could Talk.
Yeah, yes, Jamie. We're giving you a free level 2 donor information subscription access for 90 days to California Cryobank. That's the same bank that both Jamie and I used and many folks besides us, coincidentally.
Yes, incidentally. This subscription is worth $145, you guys, and it gives you access to extended donor profiles, childhood photos, and adult photos for some of the donors. It gives you access to their medical histories. You can read personal essays they've written. It's a really great value.
And Jamie, did you know that less than 1% of the donor applicants actually become donors for California Cryobank? That's how stringent they are with the screening process. They do multiple specimen quality assessments. They test for infectious disease, give physicals, do genetic screening. They evaluate personal and family medical history, comprehensive psychological screening. I mean, a criminal background check. And they even have what they call DNA advantage donors. These donors have had expanded genetic carrier screening and have been screened for over 260 plus different genetic conditions, just in case you're worried about a particular genetic condition.
It's great. And you know what else is great? They partner with LGBTQ plus organizations to sponsor family building events around the US. And they also created a special discounted fertility preservation program for the transgender community, which can help give the opportunity to have biological children after transitioning. I love them.
I mean, they are not messing around, no, Jamie. No. And if any of you out there are looking for donor sperm, just go to cryobank.com, open a free account, and use the code OCT to activate your free subscription today.
That's cryobank.com, CRYOBANK.com, OCT. That's it.
Yes.
That's it.
Yes,
that's simple.
So then, you know, of course they go forward and they ask us, you know, if you were pregnant and you were, you had more than one baby, would you be okay with selectively reducing? Mm-hmm. You know, we had to ask these questions. If you had to give birth to multiple children, could you financially take care of them?
They asked you that?
I have never, the
question about selective reduction. Thank you. That I had to answer that every single time. I did. On a paper though, not to anybody's face.
Oh yeah.
It was just like, something that they wanted to make sure that we knew what we were comfortable with and what we weren't.
But to ask you if they thought you could pay for a baby is like,
that's crazy.
Yes. They asked us what type of relationships we had with our family.
Do you think that these questions, I mean, I don't want to speak, look, I have to say, I'm not saying anything negative about the doctor community or anything, but do you feel like these were race questions? Like
it felt like crazy. It because she wasn't addressing Melissa at all.
Which is also like red flag.
Yeah.
How old were you?
This was a few months ago.
I mean,
I'm like 27, I think.
Yeah, it's like, it's. I feel like she's like talking to 15-year-old kids.
Did you stay with this clinic?
No.
Good. Thank God. I was like, oh, please don't tell me they stayed with this clinic.
And the worst part was when I had my, so I had an initial consultation with him. I told him, I think I have PCOS. And I think doctors get annoyed when they're like, oh, you just self-diagnosing. You've been on the
internet. You were on the web.
It's like, no, I've been going through this for some time now. And I know I have it. I just need you to tell me that this is what it is. So I had done modern fertility and done my blood work at home. Mm-hmm. And he told me, according to my labs, that he didn't see anything. He was like, you don't have PCOS. You're fine.
I can't.
So my doctor, this doctor's office is actually right across the street from our apartment. And I had been passing them for a while. And I was like, I don't know, you know, maybe they don't even do stuff like that. Cause this is regular OB office. Mm-hmm. So I made an appointment. I went in. They asked me all these questions. They literally just let me talk, mm-hmm. which I really appreciate.
So rarely happens.
They were just like, such a novel thing. Symptoms?
Yeah,
go figure.
So the reason that I had to end up going in the first place is because I wasn't on my cycle, but I would sit on the toilet and TMI, but this is a fertility podcast. So.
Oh, yeah. Please.
I was passing tissue like this big.
Oh
my God.
For no reason. There would be no blood in the toilet. It wasn't when I wiped, there was no blood, but it felt like I was pooping from my cervix.
Right.
Essentially. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Leading up to that, I had actually gotten to the point where I was bleeding profusely. And so when I went in, I'm telling them all these things. I've taken photos. And she's like, let's do an ultrasound. Why don't we just mm-hmm. start there? Why no one else has ever thought to just be like, let's just check the ultrasound. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So they did an ultrasound. They called me back. The nurse practitioner, who is now my provider, and I am so obsessed with her, she called me back, and I hadn't actually ever met her before. And I just remember seeing her face on the website, and I was like, she looks so sweet. So she calls me, and she's like, hi, Bria, it's nice to finally meet you. She's like, okay, sweetie, so I have some news. It's kind of hard. You know, we're going to get through it. So do you want the good news first or the bad news? And I was like, honestly, it doesn't matter. She said, well, you're not pregnant, because we thought maybe I was having some sort of miscarriage. Mm-hmm. Fine. But you do have PCOS. And I kind of just like sighed, you know, and I was like, okay. And she's like, are you okay? No one has ever asked me if I was okay. Mm. Ever. That alone is what made me cry. I was fine until she said, are you okay?
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, no one's ever asked me that. I said, it's hard because I feel like I've been lied to for so long and gaslit to think that I'm making this up. And Susie is my nurse practitioner. She was like, this is 100% why you have had the loss that you've had. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's what hurt really bad, because she said, had someone just taken the time to just look and to ask questions and to listen, you wouldn't have had to go through any of this. And so I thought of it as, I went through 3 losses for no reason.
Yeah.
I was devastated. And so, you know, I called Melissa and she cried. And my wife is not really much of a crier. She's kind of a hard ass. But the first thing she said is, so we lost our babies for no reason. And yeah. I was like, yeah. And she was like, I'm so angry and I'm so worried about you. And she had, of course, jumped straight on Google and had Googled PCOS and PCOS in pregnancy. And what are you prone to getting if you have PCOS? So I guess it's like, I could get, you know, gestational diabetes, preeclampsia. I could preterm labor, you know, all these things. So more things to just stress her out.
Yeah.
I wasn't worried right away. I honestly felt relieved and I felt like someone just validated my feelings.
Yeah, that's a big thing.
Yeah.
I feel like we can't not say the elephant in the room, that is, Black women go through this over and over and over again, being told that that what they feel is wrong, being told they're mm-hmm. not sick, being told and
gaslit.
And it like, this is a glaring example of that.
Yeah. And I didn't get it until then. And I was like, wow, they just, some of these practitioners, and not, they're not all bad. I know that there's good ones out there, but some of them, they just, they don't see how biased they are.
Yeah.
Because had it been my wife,
yeah,
she would have gotten, she's, I mean, there's been times where she's been in the office with me and they talk to her better than they talk to me. And I'm like, it's my body. She's mm-hmm. not making the decisions here. Yes, this is our journey, but you're asking her questions about what's going on in my body. And the funny part is, I did not feel a difference in treatment until I changed offices. And almost every provider in this office is a woman of color, Hispanic, Middle Eastern. My practitioner is a Hispanic woman. Mm-hmm. And she even said to me, your feelings are valid. I know what it's like to sit in that chair. And you're not going to feel alone in this room.
See, that's the way to do it.
Exactly. That's If you're going to be in this industry, we need you to hold our hands. We need you to be overly empathetic. I don't want to be dismissed. I don't want it to be just another number or a box. I don't even feel comfortable checking the box that I'm Black when I go in now. Mm. You know what I mean? Because it's like, does this mean you're going to treat me different now? Because it's like, you know, I'm twice as likely to die in childbirth.
Yeah.
Because of lack of care. Yep.
Mm-hmm. And because your voice won't be heard because you're a person of color or might not be.
And my wife even said, you know, I didn't get it until I married you. And I've had to watch what it's like to walk through a person of color's life through their eyes. But yeah, it's just the amount of microaggressions and the amount of times I've been dismissed throughout this journey has been insane to me, because I'm like, at first I was like, am I making this up? Like, am I making this a race thing in my head? Right. Because I'm not trying to be, oh, well, it's because I'm Black. But then it's like, no, it really is.
Well, you're in a fortunate and unfortunate position in that you are with a person who is white. And so you can see the difference. So that's unfortunate in the sense that you're witnessing it happen, but fortunate in that you get proof like that it's happening.
Yes, absolutely. Validation. And even my wife is like, babe, you're not crazy. Because I was thinking the same thing. Like, and that's why I started my Instagram, because it used to be just my Instagram. And then I was like, I wonder if anybody else out there is going through the same thing that mm-hmm. I'm going through mm-hmm. as a woman of color who also happens to be a queer woman. Like, mm-hmm. what does that look like for y'all? Are y'all mm-hmm. trying to conceive? Are we just not talking about it? Are you just not doing it because you're too scared because you're maybe in a Black queer relationship and you're scared that it's not going to happen like that for you? And the craziest part is, now that I've become a part of this community online, on Instagram, you know, social media, I have met so many women that have been going through the same thing that I've been going through. One in particular, mm-hmm. you know, we have made plenty of friends in the community that are not of color, that are allies, that, you know, will vouch for us. But there's also a lot of bullying that goes on in this community when we try to speak up and say, okay, well, I'm trying to speak to infertility from a Black woman's perspective. It turns into trolling and mm-hmm. people saying that we're being racist and that, you know, you're making it a race thing, that Black people always have to make it a race thing. And it's like, you don't understand. You're going through the same thing I'm going through. I'm just trying to get you to understand that when you go in, you don't have to be concerned about the same things that I have to be concerned about.
Yeah.
I don't have to get nervous and think, oh my gosh, what if I get a doctor that is low-key racist but isn't going to say that, or that doesn't really care for Black patients the same.
Which is a real thing.
It's a real fear.
Well, this is one of the things I'm really glad, and Jamie is too, I'm putting words in her mouth, but I know she is, that you reached out to us to talk about this, because it's such an important topic.
And I think a lot of people are going to feel validated by what you are saying here.
That they're not alone.
Everybody needs to hear these stories. You're not alone. This is happening to more than just you. And so we need to tell all of these stories, obviously. And so thank you so much for sharing.
And just
thank you guys for listening.
Just tell us before we say goodbye to you, what you're going to, like, you have this diagnosis.
Where are you?
You're going to keep trying, or is Melissa going to try, or where are you at?
So we have decided to take a break A much needed break because for 4 years straight, I have just been hitting the pavement hard with trying to conceive. And I had three losses in that time and never took time to just process what just happened to me.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it has put me in not the best mental state. And I knew that if I had one more cycle left in me and I was like, if this doesn't take, I can't do this because I'm going to get to a point where I will literally be like, I don't want kids because I'm starting to hate this journey. It's not beautiful anymore. It's not fun. It's terrifying. It's overwhelming. It's created body dysmorphia. So we decided to take a break. I told Melissa, you know, we'll revisit this in the fall maybe, but for right now, I need to remember what it was like to be Bria. And not Bria, the infertile friend.
Yeah.
So
that's really good.
I think that's smart.
It is. And it just, you know, everything was getting out of hand. And so I'll just say it. It's trying to conceive has pushed me into an eating disorder. And I never thought that that would be a thing. And so now I'm like, no, if I'm going to meet my baby, I'm going to meet my baby as a healed mother, not a broken one who is trying to love them out of brokenness and out of trauma. I want to love them out of all the things that have made me who I am and not using all of that as a way to raise them into a traumatized child because they had a traumatized parent, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't know if that makes sense, but
it does. So. And sometimes taking a break is the best thing you can possibly do, especially on this journey.
Yeah. Yes. And self-care.
I took a break.
Yeah. And self-care and taking care of yourself. Like if you can't, it's just like what they always say, like put the oxygen mask on yourself first before you put it on the baby. Like you have to take care of yourself. You are the foundation. You and Melissa are the foundation for your kid's whole life. So you have to take care of yourself first. And that's, I'm so glad to hear that you're going to do that or you are in the process of doing that.
Thank you.
And you do what you need to do, you know, and you have some time. You do. You're still young.
So all kinds of time.
A quote that ran, it's so cheesy, but I'm going to say it anyway. A quote that ran through my head over and over again, and I don't even know why. I don't know where this quote even comes from. Somebody might know. It's that quote that says, everything will be okay in the end. If it is not okay, it's not the end. If it's not okay, it's not the end. You're not there yet. If it's not okay, it's not the end. You're going to be okay.
And I'm going to say it's not the end with our ovaries because you are part of our community. You are part of our family and you are going to keep us posted and we are here for you.
I am. Thank you guys so much. I really appreciate you guys.
Thank you.
Bria.
That was intense.
It was.
That was intense. Ugh. Like my heart hurts for her on this journey, but
it's tough.
I know, but she has just gone through it. But I love that she wanted to share it and that, you know, and she was nervous about sharing it. But I love that she was just like, it's important that we get this out here.
And thanks so much for listening and thanks so much for sharing, Bria. That was powerful story.
I have to say, I'm even more happy, though, that she did find a doctor who treated her with dignity and respect, because like the microaggression thing is just outrageous. What women of color and black women go through. I know. Ugh. So I'm so glad that she found someone that was like, you know, this is really happening. And then she got a diagnosis. It's like, how many times do we need to hear the story about people, you know, of this happening?
I know. So, you know, if you're not being treated right, as hard as it may be, find somebody that treats you right.
Yep. Move on. Move on.
And that's hard advice to take. I don't even do that. I don't even take care of myself that way. But I think we all.
I know. I don't either.
But it's so important. We don't need to be treated like crap.
I know.
We don't deserve that.
And let's all put out into the universe that the story ends with a baby for them. Let's just put that out into the universe.
Yes, please. Yes, please. Or it's a happy ending, whatever that ending is. It's going to be a happy one.
Yes. Okay. Now, while we're on break, if you missed us and you still haven't gotten our book, go out and get our book. If These Ovaries Could Talk, the things we've learned about making an LGBTQ family. It is available, Jamie, at all major retailers. If you want to buy it locally, how are they going to do that, Jamie?
Well, you can check IndieBound.
Yes.
Yeah. You can check your local bookstore. You can check your library. Ask them to carry it. You could do that, too.
Yes, ask your library to carry it if they don't.
Everybody should just go do that, even if you already have the book. Yeah, you might as well do that.
Yes, do that,
please.
You're
looking for something to do this summer.
I know.
Do that.
Because they won't be, every week we won't be asking them to do something. So
oh,
now
I know.
They can.
Oh, my God. Okay, so now's your chance to get everything done this August. You know, download the book, get the audiobook, go to your library, tell them to add it to their library, you know, whatever. Do the things.
Rate and review the book on Amazon Goodreads. Do all
the
things.
And the podcast, you know, whatever. You know, just do all the things, guys. Do all the things. Tell all your friends.
And then keep talking to us on social media because we're going to miss you while we're gone. We're probably, we're not going to miss each other, but we're, I'm just kidding, Jamie.
Oh my God.
I'm just kidding, just kidding. Jamie. I'm going to miss you. But we'll still be talking for God's sakes every day. But we want you to keep talking to us. So hit us at Ovaries Talk on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. If These Ovaries Could Talk on YouTube, you're going to see recordings of our live streams and on Facebook and YouTube at 4 p.m. Eastern on Thursdays, though not for the month of August. We'll be back in September.
We'll be back in September. When we go back to school, Ovaries is coming back at you.
Yes.
You have those commutes back. Everybody's going back to school.
Probably.
Or work, maybe. Maybe. And you're having your commute
hoping.
Back.
Yes.
I just got excited.
All right. Thank you to our sponsors, BetterHelp, Modern Fertility, and California Cryo. And a huge thank you to the Patreons who are already helping us make this show. We are so appreciative. We really do thank you.
We really are. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And we'll see you in September.
We will.
With that, we must say, should we have Helen say it?
Okay, ready? All right, okay, let me go. Helen.
She's not real. She's not real.
So she's doing some vocal warm-ups. Eggs! Ovaries! Out! So good, oh Helen. That was so good, Helen.
Helen, you're getting really good at this
You
stuff.
Really are. You're so good. See you in September.
Bye, guys. If these ovaries could talk, they would say,
eggs, ovaries, out. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Fall's here, and so are incredible sales at Tanger Outlets. Find must-have handbags, footwear, and all the latest fall arrivals, all at unbeatable savings. Shop top brands like Nike Factory, Crocs, J. Crew Factory, Coach, Gap Factory, Old Navy Outlet, Under Armour, and even more brands you love. Save more every time you shop with deals up to 70% off. Tanger Outlets, always on trend, always on sale. Plan your trip at tanger.com.